This is the day which the Lord has made. We will all right. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. We just read in 1 Corinthians 11 for communion, but turn into your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As you're turning there, I want to ask you a question. And the question is today's sermon. Is God moving in your life? Has anyone ever asked you that? Have you ever asked yourself that? Some are like, yeah, I ask that often. I go through things and I say, God, are you moving in my life? But that's a simple question. It's a real question that I'm asking you guys. Is God moving in your life? The second question is, how do you know if He is or isn't? What is happening in your life that proves He is? What is not happening in your life that proves He is? What is happening in your life that proves He isn't? What is not happening in your life that proves He isn't? It goes both ways. That question goes to whether He is or isn't working in your life. How do you know? It's based on what is happening or what's not. If I know God is moving in my life, I know that these things are not happening because He protects me from them. That's how I know. And then you can say, well, God's not moving my life. How do you know? Well, this is not happening in my life. Oh, have you opened yourself up to allow Him to move in your life? Are you excited about talking about Him to others? Him who? Him God? Him the Holy Spirit? Him Jesus? Are you excited talking to other people about your faith? Sometimes I get ahead of myself. I get so excited. Easter Sunday, when several people from my work showed up and surprised me, I thought, oh, that's why the guy asked me, what's the Easter story all about? Oh, man. And I told him. And then we got interrupted and had to take care of work at work. Imagine that. But I said, hey, come back. I didn't finish this story. And I thought, I wanted to finish the story for that guy that asked me, because I didn't know if I'd have a chance to tell him that story again. Now I know he was just testing me if I knew what I was talking about on Easter Sunday, but he's also experienced the death in the last week that he found out about from a longtime friend. We experienced it at my work. One of our co-workers had a family member that committed suicide last Monday. We've experienced death of people we knew in different ways. Last week we prayed before we started service, and we prayed for the people in New York, up in Buffalo, for the tragedy up there in the Uvalde, Texas school. And then there's just things that happen, and it continues to happen. You're like, why is this news no longer as special, but it's commonplace to hear these things? People killed in a church parking lot, both in Iowa and in California. People killed in hospitals just down the road in Tulsa. How do I know God is working in my life? Are we excited about talking about Him to others? Are we excited about church? Don't answer that right now. You'll crush me. I don't know if I can finish. Are we excited about talking to other people and saying, hey, here's what God's doing in my life? Are you excited about serving Him? Are you excited about loving others? Going back several weeks, I will glorify God. I, Adam Dilley, will glorify God by, number one, loving others. Number two, serving others. Number three, remember that was your homework. Fill in the blank. That's specific to you. Last week we talked about, what is your memorial to God and why? And we gave three examples in the Bible about memorials that were made, what they were for, and why they were built. And I simply ask, what is your memorial to God and why? For some, it may be this church. For others, it may be something in the home or at your home, in your yard, something. Or are you sitting by, waiting and thinking and saying, God, when will I experience a spiritual breakthrough? You see, I hear these other people at church talking about these spiritual breakthroughs and these great things happening in their life. I just seem to kind of just go through a bouncing day to day. And I'm sitting here and I'm wondering and I'm waiting and I'm asking for God to be able to work in your life fully. What does He need? He needs you to quit trying to orchestrate every aspect of it. That's hard for some people, but He needs for all of us to quit orchestrating every aspect of it. That doesn't mean just get in the car and drive and say, God, lead me where You want me to go. You know, you've got a plan to go to work if that's what you do. But quit orchestrating every aspect. Give Him control. Surrender your life. You know, when you accepted Jesus, if you want to accept Jesus, come down front. Yeah, I'm going. You submit your life to Christ. You give your life over to Him. Oh, yeah. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Man, wash me clean. Make me new. Lord, I surrender my life to You. Oh, I didn't know Adam was going to take us all the way back to that point where we said we surrender our life to Christ. But go back to that point. We surrendered our life to Christ when we gave our life to Him. Maybe no one told us that. When we gave our life to Christ, maybe they didn't explain that means you're surrendering your life and you're putting it in His hands. Remember, you made Him your Lord and Savior. Well, today we're going to look at three ways to know God is moving in your life. And there's a lot of different ways. I'm giving you three areas to look at. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we read this several weeks ago, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And hopefully you'll remember this since we just read it several weeks ago. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, I make all things become new. How do I know He's moving in my life? You are determined to change your life for the better. Number one, you are determined to change your life for the better. I surrendered my life to Christ. Therefore, if I am in Christ, I am a new creation. Great, I can make things better. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. My ways, the old ways, have passed away, but my ways now have become new. So, number one, you have determined to change your life for the better. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." It tells us, man, I want to live my life for the better. Now I have God on my side. Man, if He's on my side, if He is for me, who is against me? How can they drag me down? Your desire to change and become better allows you to overcome evil and allows you to overcome the world and overcome sin. It doesn't go away. Oh, all my sin went away and I have no addictions, no compulsion to do anything. We'll circle around to this in the end. But Dale and Veda, I remember years ago, Cindy and I are fairly new at Prayer of Faith. I want a class. I want to go to Sunday school. And Dale said, man, if I want to give up chocolate, I don't necessarily say, God, remove chocolate from my life. Remove that. Remove any temptation of it. But you said, decrease and minimize and then remove my desire for it. Probably never thought you'd talk about chocolate on that Sunday morning in Bible study over at Ground Zero in a classroom stuck with anyone. It did. And I'm telling you all, it does. It sticks with people throughout their life. Rick Philibeck used to be the youth pastor here. He's gone on to be with the Lord. And he said, I did this thing, and someone talked to me and said, hey, when you become a new creation, you have to make amends for the old and ask for forgiveness. I'll never forget, he told the story of riding go-karts, slamming into the other go-karts. He was having fun, but he was damaging the guy's property by roughhousing in the go-karts. And he said, I went back and I apologized to the guy and asked for him to forgive me. Those little stories, those little things, something stuck with him that someone told him, and then it stuck with me that he said, this is a story of what I had to do, and I had to make things right. Yeah, dumb things like that. And I don't mean they're dumb. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. I didn't mean asking for forgiveness is dumb. I'm saying those things that we think are dumb and small and insignificant. It was significant to him. Forget it, Eric. I can't even talk about your lessons over the years. But I'm thankful. There's my wife back there, and she was so frustrated when Eric Ferguson taught her, to him who knows it is wrong, it is sin. If it is wrong and you don't do it, it is sin. So those are the things that, if God tells you you're supposed to do, but they're not, that means you have to do it. I don't care if it's pushing that shopping cart back. Those little lessons over our life that people teach us and we teach others, they stick with us. I've got a lifetime of lessons from my friend Eric. Very wise man. I told a story last week about that. Hang on, let me look around and see. No kids small enough to... Okay. When Eric played Santa Claus. You know, those lessons and understanding those things. It's just amazing. But we've determined to change for the better. And the reason I brought that up about various stories is it'll come back in the end, in my third point that we talk about. But we want to be better. And so we take the steps to do those things, to change our life, change desires daily, little by little. Renewing of the mind daily. Why? Because it takes repetition. Why? Because does the enemy take a day off? No. The enemy works 24/7, tries to break us down, and will get us at our weakest point. I don't think that he's going to try for our strongest point also. Hammering away at that. People, when you have a desire to grow, people will enter your life to help grow you and help make you a better person, to help improve you and at times help correct you. As you have this desire and see God moving in your life, you'll start to recognize that versus this is just a friend, this is just a person. No, this is someone that God is using to help me grow and help me transition. That is about you. You are determined to change for the better. That's about you. Number two, your purpose and direction are becoming clearer. How do I know if God is moving in my life? My purpose and direction starts becoming much clearer day by day. You start understanding who and what you are in Christ and what that means. Who are you in Christ? I don't know what that means. But as you grow in your faith and start understanding, God has called me to be this person. He loves me. I am a child of God. I understand this. All of a sudden, your purpose starts becoming clear. And the purpose is to glorify God in all things, in our actions, in our spoken word, in our intentions. I, Adam, glorify God by number one, loving others, number two, serving others, and number three, whatever that is, the gift that God has given me, my purpose. I glorify God by fulfilling my purpose that He's given inside of me. If we haven't been able to fill in that blank over the last couple weeks, remember that was a homework assignment? I just don't receive those back, but I ask you guys to think about those. If you haven't been able to fill in the blank, possibly, it means you haven't opened your life yet to allow God to use you and fully move in you, or it would become a little more evident. Allow Him to move freely. A lot of times, remember I said we have to give up complete control and trying to orchestrate everything. Sometimes we allow God to move, but we want to tell Him what to do and how much we'll move and how comfortable we are when He moves us and has us do these other things. Now, if you weren't able to fill in the blank, possibly it means you never gave it a second thought, walked out and said, okay, whatever, let's go to lunch and boop. See you next Sunday. I don't know. That could happen, but that also shows that you're not opening up yourself to allow God to move in your life. Oh, I haven't sought out my purpose. I never gave it a second thought. Turn in your Bibles to Romans, if you would. Romans. I'm going the wrong direction there. Romans chapter 12. As we look at the second aspect, your purpose and direction are becoming clear. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. And it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." God is telling us, use what I have given you. I have given you a gift. You may have to dig just a little bit to find out what that is. But use it, he says. Use it in proportion to what I've given you. God has given us gifts and we let it sit there. I don't know that that gift will be with us forever if we don't use it. I don't know. There's both sides of the coin that people talk about all the time. He'll take it away. No, once He gives you a gift, you have it always. I don't know the answer to that. But I'm not willing to find out. If He's given me a gift, I want to use it. Discover your gifts and your purpose. That's the second way you find out if God's moving in your life. Now that point is about purpose. Number three, how do I know if God is moving in my life? God uses you to help others. And this is one of my favorite areas. God uses you to help others. This is one we need to focus on. It said also, let me go back here in 2 Corinthians, see if I can find it. 2 Corinthians 5:20, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. Verse 20, and we read this several weeks ago again. "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ." God uses you to help other people. We are Christ's ambassadors. When God is moving in our life, He uses us. Different phrases. We are His instrument. We are His creation. We are His likeness. We are the aroma of Christ. Now listen carefully, especially the younger folks. This doesn't mean that we are perfect. So don't think, oh, in my youth I'm not perfect. He can't possibly use me. He absolutely can. This doesn't mean that we have arrived at any perfection, any level of expertise or anything. It means that we are open to allow Him to use us as His hands and feet, reaching out to those in need. reaching out to those in need. Our age doesn't necessarily matter. Now, age will come into play based on life experiences at some point. But he's using, listen carefully, our lost and our broken past to encourage those that are lost and broken now. He's using that to lead them to victory through and in Jesus Christ. Another phrase Eric used. I first heard it a little bit before Guatemala, and then when we went to Guatemala, broken crayons still color. Man, do not count yourself out. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know these things about me. I don't have to. God does. And God says, hey, you've been through that? I'm going to use you to help somebody else through this. I'm going to take your experience, and by the way, I'm going to take your victory through it, and I'm going to show somebody else through you that they can do it also. They can come through. Yes, even your testimony can draw others in and inspire them, leading to change forever. I think about stories like the cross and the switchblade. You know, the old gangster, and then he turned into a street pastor. A lot of examples. This last time when I went to Guatemala, and I went to a rehabilitation house for many different things, addicts and whatever. And a young lady sitting next to me, and she turned around and said something in English. And I said, you understand? You can speak English? Yes. I said, please tell me what they're saying up there, because I didn't have a translator at that point. I did almost every other place I went, but I didn't have one in there. Not yet. So she told me, and I looked at her and I said, I've got to get up there and speak in just a minute. Can you translate for me so they understand me? Translator was running behind that day. He was going to meet us there. She said, oh, no, I don't think. I said, I'm sorry, you understand English, right? Yes. You can speak English, yes. Please, I need to be able to converse with them. Okay. Went up there and utilized her, and then the pastor I was with ended up closing with this moment of prayer, and we prayed over her and others, and most of them were drug addicts. And I found out afterwards this was a prostitute that had given up that life, gone to this house, turned her life over to Christ, but thought, he can never use me because of my past. She said, I thought up until today that God could not and would not use me for any purpose. And then you asked me to translate God's message to others. And it showed me that God can use me and has used me. Actually, she said, God can use me. I said, no, God has used you. She said, I guess he has. And she broke down and wept. And it was a beautiful time. The point being that God can use our broken past to help other people. And he can still use us. It doesn't mean that if we don't have that past that we can't help someone still. I'm just saying that if we have broken and lost paths in the past, and we found God, he can use us to show other people, you too can find them. There's a story in the Bible about a guy that was killing Christians until God met him on the road. And even the disciples said, ooh, I don't know about this guy. Is this a trap? You see, he's been out killing people we've been talking to. If God can take that and turn it into one of his greatest testimonies, what are we complaining about? What are we waiting for? God, use me as your instrument. Mold me. I am the clay. You are the potter. Mold me. I am the canvas. You are the artist. We were talking Wednesday night with the youth group. Sometimes, though, we come to at the end of our life, oh, I see, God. I was an abstract painting. That's okay. because people love abstract also. It doesn't matter. However He uses us, we're the open canvas. God, I don't understand what You're doing with my life. I see a bunch of strokes here and there, but I don't get it. Oh, I get it. It wasn't a clear picture in the end. It was an abstract. I'm just Your beautiful masterpiece in the end. And all the way through that painting. But we want to know, what are You doing with me? How are You picturing me? You ever go have a caricature drawn of you? What do I look like? Oh, okay. Sometimes, you know, God may paint us out like a caricature. I don't know. I'm saying that we open ourselves up freely and say, God, use me. I want You to move in my life. And at times that's uncomfortable. And really, I didn't put this down there, but one of the ways we know He's moving in our life, things get uncomfortable. Friends get honest with us. We may have to leave friends. We may gain new friends. We don't understand why. He may move us to another town, another place, another business, another church at times. Please don't go. He may move us. But the point is, if we open ourselves up, even Jesus said, not my will, but Your will be done. We know God is moving in our lives when He makes us uncomfortable at times. So when you look about these things, or look at these things, is God moving in your life? Three areas to check. You are determined to change for the better. Number two, your purpose and direction is becoming clear. Number three, God uses you to help others. What does that mean? The first one is about you. The second one is about purpose. And the third one is about others. You know, God is moving in your life when He is impacting you and your purpose and others around you. Amen? He's working in your life when you see those three things. Now, when the band's going to come up here as we close. When we did communion, we talked about doing a self-examination. And He asked us to do that before we come to the Lord's table. It's the same thing when we're trying to figure out, God, are You moving in my life? Let's do this self-examination. God, how am I? God, how is my purpose? God, how are other people around me as a result of me? How am I doing in those areas? Think about those things. Think about them throughout the day, throughout the week. God, how am I? How am I doing on my purpose? I don't know what my purpose is. Okay, then I better figure it out. We have a gifts test that we can give you as well if you want to know what that is. Or maybe you forgot what your gift is because you forgot to use that. We can give you a gift test and we can help tell you and help get you in a ministry or an area to serve. And then how are other people that I'm around, how am I impacting their lives? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the message today. God, we truly want to know, how are You moving in our life? God, we've broken it down to three simple steps. Let me make it about me. How am I doing? I want to be better. I have a desire to be better. And when You move my life, I get better. Number two, God, I'm serving my purpose. I discover it and I serve it. And then those two things combined together go to point number three. Other people in my life, Lord, how am I impacting them? Am I helping change their lives? Am I helping to motivate them? Am I helping to correct them? Am I helping to pick them back up? A righteous man will fall seven times, Lord. Will I be there to pick him up that seventh time? Or did I grow weary after the third and fourth time? Lord, I want you to be used in this church body in a powerful way. God, I want you to change us. I want us to live our life for you. Loving others. Serving others. Changing others. Lord, help us this week as we go and grow. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.